Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Friday morning. Our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe. And yeah, you hear the music. You know what's coming to town. Nissan Stadium Monday night. Titans hosting the Bills. And our next guest will be in the booth with Steve Levy and Lewis Riddick. They'll be calling the game for you as the Titans try to pull off a win against the Bills, and the Bills look really good. And Brian Griese has been nice enough to join us. Brian, good morning. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're doing better than Mike Vrabel and his coaching staff trying to figure out how to beat this Bills team, because we've been trying to do that all week, and, man, it's hard. It's hard to figure out how you beat this Bills team, because when you look up and down their lineup, as you've done in preparation for this game, they don't really have very many holes, do they?
No, they don't. And, you know, as much as you would like to look back at last year's game, the 42-16 Titans win in dominating fashion, this is a different football team, a different Buffalo Bills team that's playing with a lot of confidence. I know last year they came into that game 4-0. And I do think there are some things that Mike Vrabel and the staff can take away from that game and have some confidence in relaying to the players as to what the recipe and the game plan is to win. But it certainly is going to be a much bigger challenge this go-round.
Give us the quarterback perspective when you watch Josh Allen play and just the growth to where he is today in 2021. I don't know how many people projected this type of career. I realize he was a first-round pick, but I wasn't sure what the Bills had in Josh Allen. But when you watch Josh Allen play, what do you see?
Yeah, actually, I covered Josh Allen in college at Wyoming. I was doing some college football, you know, 5-6 years ago, and had a chance to go up there a couple of times to watch Josh play. And you could see the physical talent, the ability to throw the ball, to get out and run outside the pocket. You know, he was a much more physical runner back then. I mean, I think that the coaching staff and Sean McDermott has gotten to him and said, listen, man, we don't need you to bowl over people all the time. He can do that when you need him to, and he will around the goal line, you know, lower his pads because he's 240 pounds now. So, but he, you know, he has grown leaps and bounds. You know, the big question about him coming out was his accuracy. And the first season, you know, he struggled. And everybody thought, well, it's mechanics and this and that. And I said, no, I think it's more so just understanding the game and where your guys are going to be, the concepts that you're running, how to read defenses. I think he's benefited tremendously from having the continuity at the offensive coordinator position in Brian Daboll for 4 consecutive seasons. So not only does he know the offense, he's been able to learn defenses. And Daboll has had the opportunity to build this offense around what Josh likes to do. And that is invaluable for a young quarterback, and I think you've seen the results.
Yeah. On the other side, on the Titans side of things, when you watch Ryan Tannehill and when he took over from Mariota, I mean, he has been really, really good. He's not been the same this year, Brian. As you know, the offensive line has had their fair share of struggles. He hasn't had his two big weapons for most of the season to this point in A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. Maybe that's about to change. But when you see Tannehill, what do you see?
Yeah, you know, I look back to last season first and foremost. And, you know, we did the playoff game against Baltimore. And I looked back and studied Ryan, you know, throughout the course of the season. And I saw a quarterback who was operating at a high level, efficient level. While he's got a lot of characteristics like Josh Allen, big, can run around, can move, has plenty of arm strength. You know, not as much as Josh, obviously. But I see a quarterback that you can build around, and Tennessee and Mike Vrabel have built around him. Now, I'm a little disappointed that we haven't been able to see what we wanted to see from this Titans offense this season, which was having your three big stars on the field at the same time, and Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and then adding Julio Jones. They've only been on the field 21% of the snaps. So I was excited to see that both Julio and A.J. practiced yesterday, and hopefully they go again today, and they're healthy for this game. Because that's what we all want to see on Monday night, is the full complement for this offense. And then, you know, the biggest question at that point will be, you know, Roger at left guard. You know, Taylor has been in and out of the lineup. And I, you know, after what happened week one, I've got questions about Taylor and what's going on at left tackle. But if they can get some, and then obviously, you know, Sombrilo with the retirement. I mean, there's a lot of
issues
up front right now, and inconsistencies that they have to get figured out. But that's what we want to see, the full complement. And if they can do that, then I think they have a chance to control this game on the offensive side. And that's what you have to do against the Bills, keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands.
We're talking to Brian Griese, Monday Night Football coming up. He'll be on the coverage, of course, for ESPN. And, Brian, just thinking back, you're very familiar with, you know, the running game. You know, you played for the Broncos during that era where, you know, you had Terrell Davis doing amazing things. And this, the way they use Derrick Henry is a little bit of a throwback to that. Lots of carries, 2,000 yards. They're leaning on him so heavily because of all those things that you just discussed. Issues on pass protection, not having all the weapons. But what would your level of concern be, especially in this day and age and how the game has evolved, on how they're using Derrick Henry? Are you concerned that they will burn out at some point just going to that well?
Listen, you can't have it both ways, guys, okay? If they weren't giving Derrick Henry the ball, you'd be complaining about him not giving Derrick Henry the ball. Right? Like, he's the best back in the game right now. So you have to give him the ball. You're right. I did play in an era with the Broncos where we ran the ball quite a bit. And remember, this offense, going back to Matt LaFleur, and then Arthur Smith, a byproduct of him, this stretch outside zone game, and then the play action off of that, the boots, the nakeds, which take advantage of what Ryan does really well, and then being able to take these shots down the field with AJ and Julio. That's the recipe, guys. So you have to run the ball first to set up those play actions. And so I'm okay with the way that they're using Derek. I think they understand, you know, and I'm sure Mike gets, you know, a question every week about, you know, the load on Derrick Henry. So you do have to sprinkle in, you know, McNichols and hopefully Darrington Evans can be healthy and be that kind of changeup. But, you know, you got to give them the football. You have to wear down defenses. And in particular, you know, in this matchup, I think you're going to have to control the game on that side of the ball. So Derek's got to be a big portion of that. Now, the Bills have had a lot of success against Derek. I don't think he's gotten over 75 yards in any of the three games that he's gone up against Leslie Frazier. And this is a good defense, especially having Star Lotulelei back inside. So it's not going to be easy to run the football. So maybe you do have a little bit more, open it up a little bit more if AJ and Julio are healthy, throwing the ball on first down and take some pressure off of Derek, knowing you're going to get eight-man fronts from the Bills. That might be a change-up strategy this week.
Brian, just a note on your coverage. I know that there's been some news. There's going to be a Monday night playoff game coming up. That's exciting. But give us your thoughts about the chemistry between the three of you guys. I've really enjoyed how you guys have meshed, but here you guys are and you're in another year going forward here. You got a big game coming up here, but give us a little insight on how that's worked.
Yeah, thank you. We are fired up about the Monday night playoff game. I mean, you can imagine, playoffs are huge. We had a blast doing our wild card game there in Nashville last year. I know it didn't turn out the way that the Titans fans wanted, but it was a great environment. And just to think of having this primetime game this year and a standalone on Monday night, kind of where we live all year, it just makes a lot of sense. And so we've got that game for the next 5 years, and we're fired up about that. And, you know, for Steve and Lewis and myself, last year we were not able to, because of the pandemic, to spend the time together like we normally would. I mean, we couldn't go out to eat together. We weren't in the same room. We were in our hotel rooms, and the only time we spent together was in the booth. So it was very, very different and difficult. Obviously, I've worked with Steve Levy for 5 years and know him, but it was our first time working with Lewis. his first time doing games in the booth. So it was a growth process for all of us. This year feels so much better. We know kind of what each other likes to talk about, likes to do. I think the chemistry has gone through the roof. We have fun. It's entertainment at the end of the day. We love breaking down the game, Lewis and I. We have different ways of seeing the game, which I think, benefits the broadcast. And hopefully the fan at home is learning something at the end of the day. And that's our goal. And they understand why the game was won or lost. The coaches' decisions and all those interesting things that go into the outcomes of games, that's where we really want to be sharp. And so it's been a ton of fun. I'm having a blast, and I know those guys are as well.
We're talking to Brian Griese. He will be on the telecast for Monday Night Football as it comes to town, Titans and Bills. And you were talking about, from your quarterback eyes and the different things that Tannehill has faced this year, and one is the play caller, and Todd Downing and Arthur Smith did such a tremendous job, now the head coach of the Falcons. But in your experience, is there really just – not necessarily a set amount of time for chemistry to develop, but what are some things that you really need to work on from the get-go between the quarterback and the play caller that could present some issues, like I think we've seen some with the Titans, of maybe they're on the same page but not maybe as well as they could be?
Yeah, it's not going to be, as seamless as it was, obviously, with Arthur a year ago. It's going to take time for Todd. Now, Todd's had the advantage of being there and seeing, the way that Arthur ran the offense. And I'm not totally sure how many of the meetings he was in with Ryan to understand what he liked to do, what he didn't like to do. But it takes time. I look at the third down and red zone numbers. I mean, that really was the reason why the Titans offense was so good a year ago, was on third downs they were amazing, and red zone they were historically good. And this year they haven't. Again, it goes back to some of the injuries, and we understand that. But as far as this offense gelling, I think the great thing for the Titans is they're sitting here at 3-2. They're two games up in the division, and we're talking about trying to find their rhythm and gelling on offense, and they haven't had their full complement. So that's a great spot to be operating from. They're going to be there at the end. And they may not be the top two seeds in the AFC, but if they can win their division and grow as an offense and get healthy and understand, maybe they have to have some of these younger offensive linemen contribute. But if they can get to a point at the end of this season where finally, they have some continuity and Todd understands the rhythm of this offense and where he can go for production, I think that's kind of the strategy they have to go after.
How have you seen, we've talked about the tight end a lot and trying to replace Jonnu Smith here in Nashville, now with New England. They've used Anthony Firkser some, but he was more of a depth role in the past. But how have you seen just the tight end position and how the quarterbacks use the tight end change in the last 5 to 10 years in the NFL?
Oh, well, the last 5 to 10 years, it has really changed. I mean, tight ends are extended in the formation now more than ever. You typically have, the blocking tight end and the receiving tight end, a Y tight and F tight end, which is a move tight end who, Anthony Firkser is a great example, converted wide receiver, and what he's able to do is, the mismatches that he creates are a favorable situation for Todd Downing in this offense, but I think you still have to have that end of line tight end that is able to block, that's able to secure the edge, especially playing against 3-4 defenses where you got 260-270 pound outside linebackers that you have to set the edge, especially in this offense where you're running outside zone, right? Jeff and Michael Pruitt. I think Jeff's a little bit, further along blocking from a blocking standpoint. But I think you've got to have two, three good tight end options, and one of which needs to be kind of a mismatch opportunity when you extend him in the formation. And that's where Anthony has been so valuable to this offense.
You and Mike Vrabel were in the league at about the same time, so you know what he was like as a player. But now that you see him from afar as a head coach, what's kind of your overall thoughts of him and how he conducts business here in Nashville?
Yeah, I've got a lot of respect for Mike, despite the fact he went to Ohio State, and you know I had battles with him, and then he goes to New England, and I'm in Denver, and we continue it. So I've got a lot of respect. He's a great football coach, and I really respect guys like that played the game. And then make that transition. He learned from the best in New England, and so I just think that there are five or six times during the course of the game where Mike will make a decision that really influences and increases the Titans' percentage chance of winning the game, and it might not be viewable to the fan. It may not even be viewable to me during the course of the game, but, situational football, clock management, fourth downs, analytics, I think he's on top of it, and I really respect that, going above and beyond just the X's and O's of defensive football. I really respect when a coach like that, a former player, is on the details, and there's no doubt he is.
Last thing real quick, Brian, just because it just happened, I wanted to get your opinion. I know you haven't had an Arizona Cardinals game yet. You will down the road. They're off to a tremendous start, and they just traded for Zach Ertz, the tight end from the Eagles. What do you make of that move? And, Arizona's already been here. They came in here to first game of the season, and Chandler Jones, I think, had 15 sacks, and Arizona ripped the Titans apart. So what do you think of Arizona loading up for this year and going for it and just acquiring Zach Ertz?
Yeah, look at you breaking news, huh?
It wasn't me. It was Adam Schefter.
Yeah, okay. So I think that's a direct result of them losing Max Williams, who was their tight end. And that's unfortunate for Max. But Steve Keim understands the window that they're operating in. You bring in a J.J. Watt and A.J. Green on the offensive side. There's no question Arizona knows that they have the squad to compete deep into the playoffs. And so it's not surprising at all. It is a scary team. I mean, it is a loaded team. The question that's always come up with them was Kyler Murray. Can he stay healthy? Now, he injured his throwing shoulder this past week, so we'll see. They were off to a hot start last year, and then Kyler got dinged up, and they went in the tank, and they couldn't get out. So I know that they're them and the Buffalo Bills are the hot teams in the NFL right now, but it's early, so we'll see. But that's not a surprise they went out and got Zach.
Good stuff. Hey, really appreciate the visit. We'll be certainly watching your coverage. Enjoy the game on Monday. And thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure, guys. Can't wait to get to Nashville, one of my favorite spots.
All right, love it. Brian Griese, he'll be in the booth Monday night with Steve Levy and Lewis Riddick. Monday Night Football, Titans hosting the Bills, ESPN and ABC. Good talk there with him. We'll come back more on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.